joy. Despite my circumstances, I feel inner contentment and understand my purpose in life. Let us say that together. Despite my circumstances, I feel inner contentment and understand my purpose in life. As we gather this week, I can't ignore the events in our country over the past few weeks. The tragedies in Florida, one, the hideous attack of a terrorist on a nightclub in our community, in that community, and the other, a personal tragedy as a child was attacked and killed by an alligator. In both situations, there seems to be, according to the internet, plenty of blame to go around. In both cases, our growing inability to eliminate threats to our safety has shown us that we have been led to greater danger here at home, day by day, either from natural causes or from enemies coming to our homeland. And it's tempting to spend a lot of time in the message, I have to say, to have an opportunity to get up behind the pulpit and pound on the pulpit and talk about what's wrong with our society, what's wrong with our government, what's wrong with the world is very tempting. But that's not what we're going to do today. It's tempting to join in with the Facebook crowd and point blame at who did what and why not. It's tempting to talk about the radicalized first generation children coming from Muslim countries living in the U.S. But instead, these two situations need to stand, I believe, as potent, powerful backdrops for this week's discussion that was planned according to our study. The discussion of one of the key characteristics that identify the Christian: joy. Isn't that interesting? I want that to hang there a minute, because that's the human condition. That's always the human condition. That we know intellectually that we as Christians are called to this abounding joy, to be overwhelmed by the grace, and we feel that. Don't we? Do we not feel that? That we are touched by the grace and love of God, and it creates a joy in us. And there's no doubt of that. Yet it is not the removal of sorrow. It is not the absence of suffering. Suffering and sorrow will always, until Jesus comes again, until this world is remade new as it was originally intended, suffering and sorrow will always be the backdrop for joy. But what I would like us to believe and encourage ourselves to know is that joy is the more powerful emotion. And in fact, joy is the more true emotion, because, brothers and sisters, joy will be your eternal condition when you return to glory with the Lord. Suffering will end. Amen. Joy will not. And that is the promise of our Lord. So we've talked about this in many forms throughout the lesson. I love the tone in which the description on the PowerPoint says it, despite my circumstances. See, I think too many of us think that when we become Christian, we're supposed to be filled with joy. It's supposed to be an immediate condition that then will remain constant and overwhelming for the rest of our life here on earth. And no, in fact, it will be despite your circumstances. You will have joy. And so we've talked about this. We've used code language, if we will. We've used language that is a little less overwhelming than the word joy in our mind and what it means. We've talked about it as the good life, the faithful life, or as it is on the screen this morning, I feel inner contentment and understand my purpose in life. All of this leads us to the key question: what gives us true happiness and contentment in life? What does that mean? And obviously we're defining that as joy, right? Joy is defined by a sense of contentment and happiness. So Max Lucado, in his sermon on this topic, opens the discussion with the topic of what he calls courageous joy. Courageous joy. So we tend to think, we being broadly humanity, we tend to think of joy as a spontaneous reaction. You got to jump like that when you say it. Spontaneous reaction to good news, right? I mean, that's kind of our image of joy. It's Christmas. It's a boy. And that's spontaneous. And it's almost uncontrolled. But what Max Lucado describes and the word choices he uses is courageous joy. And that's an interesting choice of words. Courageous joy. It's a courage thing. We tend to think of joy as just happening. We think of the birth of babies. We think of family holidays. We think of fireworks. We think of joy as a celebration, like a wedding, where we take joy in the happiness of others, people that we love and care for. As wonderful as those are contingent emotions. That joy is contingent on something else happening. I feel joy because fill in the blank. Right? We see this in the Eros love, the love of teenagers and young people. Us old people, we don't feel that kind of love anymore. It's just been burned out of us. No. It just runs deeper, we hope, and more thoughtful. But that kind of contingent love that says, I love him because. I will love you if. I love it when you. That's contingent. I don't give it unless I receive something. And most of the joy that we talk of, that we imagine when that word is spoken, most of the joy we're talking about is actually in that category. I will feel happy if. That's contingent. And I hope you're already beginning to see how dangerous that can be. How fleeting contingent joy is. Because let's face it, everything is passing on this earth. And sometimes I find myself listening to people and I actually pretty much bite my tongue and don't say what I'm thinking. They say so many things that fall into the category of contingent joy. I don't want you to start guarding your tongue around me, but seriously, they will say of a boyfriend, he makes me happy because. Or I'll be happy if you do blank. And I think to myself, but I don't say to my out loud, you don't know that. How many times there was something that you just thought for sure was going to make you happy and then you got it and it really didn't make you all that happy? It might have made you a little happy. Julian, I've been shopping for cars for, feels like years. Been a couple months. Julie is a serious shopper, let me tell you. If you need to shop for something, she's your woman. And there gets to be that sense, if I get this car, it'll be this. How many of you have bought a car only to have it in the shop a month later? Amen? Look, I sold cars. I don't like selling cars that I own to people I know, because I know after having sold cars for a living that that car could go off the lot and break down no matter how much I think it was a great car. Contingent joy is as fleeting as the item that you're contingent upon. And the Bible says of human beings, as the grass withers and the flower fades. We're fleeting. We're fleeting. So be careful of contingent joy. This form of contingent joy may come true, but it may not. And it's just as likely to produce bad results as it is to produce good results. I can't imagine the idea of being at Disney World and facing the worst horrible tragedy that you could ever have. And I don't even love Disney World like the Landrys love Disney World. But I couldn't imagine that. Imagine even the tragedy, and I'm not going to say that this nightclub was a church. It was not. It was probably a horrible place. But the horrible tragedy of people trying to find joy, people trying to push back their sorrows, people trying to find an answer for the pain inside of them, and finding instead a slaughterhouse. A friend of many of you and a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in a while, even though we live in a small town, that always blows my mind how I can go months and not see people I know in Thibodaux. But Murray Dennis, I bumped into her this past week, and she was sharing a story of her becoming ill. And this is already passed, so you don't have to be alarmed, but she had an infection in her arm. It got to the point where she was almost out of her head with it. And so they called in the ambulance. As they're getting her ready to go to the hospital, her husband has a heart attack. How can you imagine such a situation? But if my joy is contingent on my health, woe is me. If my joy is contingent on an event, then woe is me. But we cannot count on circumstances to produce our joy, because it will fail. See, there's a deeper joy, and it's still contingent. But the thing that it's contingent on, the person it's contingent on, is eternal. The Scripture says of the Lord that He never fails. There is no shadow of turning as we sing with Him. And if our joy is contingent on the existence of the Father and His love for me, His love for you, brothers and sisters, you can count on that. Even though the gates of hell come against it, that kind of joy will prevail. The Christian has a confidence and joy that no one else can have. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "I, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of the Father, God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Christ Jesus and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance." The word of the Lord. Now notice a few important things about that text that I just read to you. They're God's elect. God chose. God elected them. God chose them. His work, His effort. And despite being God's elect, they are, did you catch that word early on? Exiled. Kicked out of their home. Pushed away from the place they belong. People who were persecuted and run out of town because of their faith. They're being told to live in confidence of their having been chosen, that God is sanctifying them. And in the context, Paul is encouraging them to have grace and peace, to be content in their circumstances. Later in the same chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 1 at verse 6, we find these words. And I said Paul, and it's obviously Peter, and I apologize for that. Peter says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The result of our faith is not a perfect life. The result of our faith is not the middle class American dream. Not even the lower middle class American dream. Or maybe those of us who are just trying to get into the middle class, it's not even that. The result of your faith is your salvation. The result of your faith is a confidence that no matter what happens here, your end result is assured. But I love the way it words this, because it's more than that. You believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Now, you're beginning to feel the results of that eternal salvation today. You are changed now. He is at work in your heart, in your life, at this minute. And the suffering you're encountering, the challenges you are facing, if you believe in Him, if you believe in what has been done, that is just getting you in better shape. He is preparing you for your final glory, where you will reign and rule with Christ throughout eternity. You are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls today. So what we're told in Scripture, counterintuitively to our cultural belief, is that struggle should not in any way preclude you experiencing joy. Oh, if millennials could learn this. Amen? My goodness, if you disagree with people, they'll have a heart attack. It's because they're so caught up in the minute. They have no sense of the eternal. Now, shame on us, because we should be just so patient with them that it should never bother us a bit, because we should be caught up in the eternal. We should have a joy about us that goes beyond what's going on in front of us. God is at work in our lives, this Scripture teaches us, no matter what our circumstances. His work is that we will have eternal salvation, and we are receiving the benefit of that even now, and it should be shown in joy. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Period. That's a completed thought. In this world, you will, no may, no should, no could, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's defeated. That's already been defeated. We're just catching up. God already knows what the plan is. God already knows what the result is. We're just walking through time until we get there. You will have trouble, but Jesus has overcome the world. And I understand, we are troubled. You have real problems. You people have real problems. I just realized how that sounds. We as a culture, we as a nation, we have, you realize in 6 months we are voting for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. We have trouble. If you love them, that's fine. That's your business. But some of us aren't happy. And if you love one of them, you're going to get the other one. Somebody's going to win. So no matter who you are, you're going to be unhappy. Except for that one, probably 30% that's going to end up winning this election. Either way, there will be disappointment in this world. We can see the writing on the wall. Many of us who hold traditional values, who believe in the Constitution, who believe in our national history and the way our country should be run and the direction we believe it should be going. We see the writing on the wall, and most of us are aware that the moral compass of this nation is not only wounded, damaged, it has been smashed. And there's a temptation to fall into the grip of hopelessness. But as I like to point out to people, you know, it was pretty bad in Rome that day when the barbarians came through and took over everything. And yet Christianity still exists. Right? In fact, Christianity has flourished since that day. And so we human beings get caught in our century and we forget there are millennia going on here. And that we have a Lord and Father in heaven who we can trust with everything. The barbarians were at the gate, yet humanity has survived. You see, it doesn't matter what the national allegiances are. It doesn't matter what the international borders are. At the end of the day, Jesus has overcome the world. Despite Hitler, despite Stalin, despite Pol Pot, despite Ho Chi Minh, despite any political alliance or agreement that you can name or think of over the last 2,000 years, the truth is fundamentally unchanged. Jesus has overcome the world.
Amen.
Amen. Have joy in your hearts. Vote for your candidate. Fight for your nation. Be patriotic. Wear the red, white, and blue. I love that shirt. Bleed for the USA. But never forget that Jesus has overcome the world, and that includes our country. He is the King. And though we have said we would have no king, we have also said, but King Jesus. And that was the founding principle of our country. The key idea this week may seem a little hard to hold on to, but I want to say it for us. Despite my circumstances, I feel inner contentment and I understand my purpose in life. This was really easy for me to embrace initially when I was getting sober. It was. Look back on those days in a way, they were kind of glorious. They were kind of crazy, don't want to go back, but my life was getting so much better so fast by just the removal of alcohol. And then the removal of the habits that went with it. I was healing physically at a remarkable rate. I was dealing with my financial problems. I completely changed my social setting. And I just had to take it one day at a time. That's all I had to do. And it was guaranteed, as bad as things were, that things were just going to get better. And they did. They got remarkable better. And today, for me and for most of us in this room, I suspect our lives are relatively stable. Our day-to-day circumstances actually change little. We're aging a little. Amen. Our family status is evolving constantly. Those of us who have preteens and teens, it's evolving a little faster than the rest of y'all. But those of you who are empty nesters, your life is evolving too. We're all evolving. But nonetheless, overall, the change is not radical. Some of you are chasing grandkids instead of your kids. And it's really just politics and news that makes us miserable most of the time. But in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. It becomes harder to maintain the truth of that when your problems are smaller, more natural and normal. Or is it just me? I think it's all of us. We read the news, we listen to the radio, and you can keep doing that. But you need to take breaks with Jesus. You need to do some work. See, we believe in grace and we believe that it's a free gift. We believe that God has chosen us from all the people of the world. That God has made us who were no nation into a nation. That's His work. It is His work. But we have work to do to maintain our sense of it all. And you have work to do to maintain your joy because it's a courageous joy that occurs despite what you're looking at, despite maybe even the mundanity of your life. Is that a word? I don't know it is today. Y'all can look that up on your phone and correct me. The news keeps us so riled up all the time that we can't reason anymore. We need to step away and spend time with the Lord. And Jesus talks to his disciples about how important it is to remain in him right before his crucifixion. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. Do you want to feel joyful? Then remain in Christ. You know how Christ remained in the Lord besides being bound to him in an eternal relationship? He went and prayed. He studied the Word. He went away each morning to spend quiet time with God. We have to maintain the work. Those of us who own a yard in South Louisiana, you know, if you didn't get it mowed before yesterday afternoon, which Timmy did not get the front yard mowed, by the time we can mow that yard again, it's going to be 4 inches deep. Maintenance has to occur. And at the edge of your joy is a constant barrage of the world trying to ignore the truth. Now the truth is, Jesus has overcome the world. The world just don't know it yet. And that world's still trying to creep in and steal your joy. And it's going to tell you that the U.S. is going to fall apart, the West is going to fall apart, and these things almost certainly are true. Name a civilization on this earth that has not fallen. But Christ will remain. And you, brothers and sisters, belong to a kingdom that is eternal. And he has overcome the world. And if you don't spend time with him studying that, then the decay of this world will destroy your joy. Actually, destroy your sense of your joy. Because again, your contingency is eternal. Your contingency is the Father. But our sense of it will be eroded by what's going on around us. It's hard sometimes to remain in Christ in this world, and I know that. It's easier to remain in Fox News. That's what I find. I can turn on Fox News and click through the videos and watch that stuff, and I can remain in that for a good bit of time. It's easy to remain in Facebook. Amen? How many of you lost 30 minutes on Facebook this week? 30 minutes or more. Come on. All right. It's easy to remain in our worries. No. But we need to remain in Christ. And for whatever reason, that appears to be harder for us. It should be easier. Because the results from remaining in Christ are much more powerful than those of remaining in those other things. All right, I'm aware I need to wrap up. The truth is, to spend time with Christ, we need to read His Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to fellowship with other Christians. We have to worship God more often than Sunday morning. We have to make sure that we believe that the words of Jesus are true, the words of the apostles. And I just want to read from Acts chapter 2 quickly and get you to hear this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. If you want to remain in joy, those things need to be part of your life. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Dropping down verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If the church has a sense of joy, people will come to Christ. Just want to close up since I've gone long. 1 Peter chapter 1 again, verses 8 through 9. We've read this again before. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The more you spend studying the Bible, the teachings of the apostles, the more time you spend worshiping God together, the more time you spend in Bible study together, the more time you eat in each other's home, the more time you spend being the church together, the more the world will see the joy in your heart. And you won't even realize you're being joyful, you just will be. And that's how we begin to impact the crumbling culture around us. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I believe this is a unique church. There is a joy in this place. It's a little more serious maybe than other places. Maybe because it's a courageous joy. Maybe because it's a joy that understands truly the suffering, acknowledges the problems, yet clings to the Father. But you have work to do to maintain this place of joy. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this day for the gift of joy, and we acknowledge that sometimes we have a hard time remaining in You. It's so darn easy to remain in the world. Pull us from it by the power of Your Spirit. Speak to our hearts, speak to Your people, and give us a desire to be together, to be with You, to be seeking to grow. That we would be glad and rejoice in Your presence, as we are receiving now the promise of our eternal salvation. Bless Your church so that we may bless the world. Help us to shine to Your glory, we pray. We remember to pray as Jesus taught us, our Father.